49, picking up where we left off the last time I had an opportunity to speak. The title of the sermon this morning is Showtime 2014. We're going to pick up our reading in verse 5, and if you'd like to follow along through verse 12, let us hear the word of the Lord. "And now saith the Lord, who formed me from the womb to be a servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, It is a light thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give you for a light to the nations, that you may be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhors, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord who is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an accepted time I have heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped you, and I will preserve thee and give you for a covenant to the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that you may say to the prisoners, Go forth. To them who are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he who has mercy on them shall lead them. Even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim." Father God in heaven, in the name of Jesus, we ask for your grace and your anointing upon the speaking and your anointing upon the hearing. In Jesus' name, amen. Showtime is my way of reminding you that this Sunday we celebrate the Epiphany. Epiphany proper comes tomorrow on January 6th. An epiphany means revealed or made manifest. Jesus is made known to the whole world on Epiphany. Those wise men from the east following that star are representative heads of the nations, of the whole world, the Gentile nations meeting and greeting and worshiping the King, the one who is the King of Kings. Unlike my prior sermon where we talked about the darkness of dawn when we had opened Advent, today represents high noon, showtime, if you will, a dazzling, brilliant light of revelation, the revelation of Jesus, as verse 6 says, as a light to the nations, revealed as God's salvation to the ends of the earth. Last time out in verses 1 through 4, we spoke of his calling from the womb as we opened Advent there. We talked about dawn, and we talked about dawn is set in the context of darkness. And we talked about his own temptation to despair regarding the fact that he would be rejected. It's all in vain. My life isn't measuring up to anything. We talked about how even Jesus Christ was tempted with the futility of life. But our verses today, again, shown in verse 6, display God kind of doubling down on his investment of Jesus Christ as the gift to the world. God is doubling down, so to speak, about Jesus redeeming not only the nation of Israel, but doubling down and saying, you know what? This Messiah, this Savior, will be the Savior to the ends of the earth. The whole wide world will be redeemed through him. Our passage today is an amazing passage. filled with clauses which just burst with theological significance. Were we to study them all, we'd be here through next Epiphany and beyond. Let me simply just lay some of them out for you for a bit here, and then I want to cite some of the wise men connections that we find right here in this passage, and then I want to really urge our application, and our application towards making Showtime, Showtime 2014. How about those theologically significant clauses? Look in verse 5. Don't miss the incarnation. As we've talked about in the first four verses here, here again in verse 5, we see this idea that he was formed in the womb. The incarnation. The king of the universe became a man. Don't miss the incarnation. Also in verse 5, don't miss his servanthood. Also in verse 5, don't miss his rejection. Though Israel is not really getting on the right page. And don't miss his vindication by God his Father. He would be glorified in the eyes of God, even though Israel didn't seem to get it. How about verse 6? He is raising up the tribes of Jacob. He is restoring them. He is redeeming them. Talk about a conundrum here. He is even raising up and redeeming and restoring those who were preserved. What an odd way to say something. Here God, in his predestinating grace, says, Israel is going to be my people. They will come to faith. They are preserved. Nonetheless, I'm going to send this one to raise them up and to redeem them. They are preserved by him. How about Jesus here in verse 6 as the embodiment of salvation? He calls Jesus onto the scene and he says, that you may be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. The embodiment of salvation. When we think about the gospel, it's not a head game. It's not thinking the right thoughts. It's about Jesus Christ. That you may be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Incredible verses. Look at verse 7. Jesus came on the scene there in the first century, and he was rejected. You remember the whole temptation to despair from verse 4? Nothing's working out. It's futile. It's void. Nothing's happening here. It's in vain that I'm working so hard. Well, in verse 7, there is a continuation of that sentiment, in a sense. Because it says that Jesus comes on the scene, and he comes, he's the Holy One, to him whom man despises. He came into an environment where the natural state of sinful man is to despise the things of God. And they, and us included, him whom man despises. And then it goes on to say that he is the one who was abhorred by the nation. And the Hebrew goes out of its way to say in the singular to the nation of Israel. He who was abhorred by his own people, abhorred by the nation. God is going to double down and not only redeem them, but send that salvation that he embodies to the ends of the earth. Fascinating. How about the designation that he is to be a servant to rulers? We're going to continue on in verse 7 a little bit farther on here in just a moment. But how about the designation that we find in verse 8? In verse 8 where it says that, that I will give thee for a covenant of the people. Here again is this whole embodiment. If you want to understand salvation, it's about Jesus. It's about not about having a certain set of doctrines or philosophical or intellectual principles that you've grabbed onto. He is the embodiment. I have sent thee as the covenant to the people. How about the dominion that is involved in verse 8? That he would be one who would establish the earth. That he would be the one who would cause to inherit the desolate heritages. Here's a Bible passage where there certainly is a long-term and an optimistic viewpoint about the world. A long-term optimism. He would establish the earth and cause to inherit the desolate heritages. All of these and more. Every one of these little clauses we could explore. But the second part of this sermon here is to just really explore for a bit. I really wonder how many people see in this passage the Epiphany. That time when Jesus was revealed to the nations. The Epiphany story. Not many of the commentators that I have read, they see the Epiphany in other passages in Isaiah for sure. If you look at Isaiah chapter 60, almost everybody sees the Epiphany here. They see the wise men here in Isaiah chapter 60. The passage begins, "Arise and shine, for your light is come." It talks about the darkness there in verse 2. It's going to cover the earth. Gross darkness, the people. The people themselves had a dark and black heart. "But the Lord shall arise upon thee, his glory shall be seen upon thee." The Epiphany is here. This is the wise men coming. "Nations shall come to thy light, kings to the brightness of thy rising," in verse 3. It says that in verse 6, "the multitude of camels will be there." And in verse 6 it says they would bring gold and they would bring incense there. Commentators see the Epiphany in passages like Isaiah chapter 60. But look again back in Isaiah 49 and verse 6. And what do we see? Again, we see light there. Okay, not only is it a light thing there at the beginning of the verse, but at the end of the verse he said, "I will give you and you will be a light to the nations." This is like that Star of Bethlehem shining for the whole world to see. "I will give you for a light to the nations." The Gentiles are there. In verse 7, we see kings shall see and shall arise, and princes. And the terminology there is a leader, a ruler. The Bible doesn't tell us specifically that those wise men were king, even though our Christmas carols say so, but this fits the description here. That they were rulers of different areas. Kings shall see and arise. That means they will stand up. That means they will give reverence to. It ultimately means that they will worship. It says so there at the end of the verse. It says, "Princes also shall worship." All of this is just like what the wise men did in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2. Their aim was to come and to worship this one. That was their aim. "Where is he that is born, the King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Just like Isaiah 49 is saying. That they would rise up in reverence to him. And in Matthew chapter 2, the same chapter here in verse 11, it says not only was it their aim to worship, but that's exactly what they did. They did do. "And they fell down and they worshiped him." That's what happened on that first Epiphany, that first showtime, if you will. Their aim was to worship. Their legacy is that they were worshiping, offering their gold, their frankincense, and their myrrh. What's more, in verse 12 of Isaiah chapter 49, it tells us about the origin of those who would come and worship. The origin of those who would be redeemed by this one who embodies the salvation of God to the ends of the earth. And what does it say about them in verse 12? It says, "Behold, these shall come from far." Sounds just like that Christmas carol, doesn't it? "We three kings of Orient are traveling from afar." Verse 12 talks about the whole world is in view here. Yeah, we know that there are four corners to the earth, so to speak. I think there are corners to the earth. We know there's north, south, east, and west. But depicted here in biblical imagery is the whole world. They will come from far. They'll come from the north. They'll come from the west. They'll come from the land of Sinim. Most notations say that this view is likely those from the Far East, wise men from the East. Likely from China is in view here. The whole world is in view. Now, I'm not trying to be dogmatic about identifying who these people are here. Nothing dogmatic here, but there is much here that is devotional about the Epiphany and the glory of that first Epiphany. All through this passage, we see light and we see Jesus being manifest. We see the epiphany. It was showtime, so to speak, for God to reveal His Son to the world as the embodiment of salvation. And for sure, Jesus is on display here. But the third part of this sermon is this, and this is the most important. This passage also is meant to be read as Showtime 2014. Yes, that happened 2,000 years ago, 2014 years ago, that epiphany. But it's meant to be read as Showtime 2014. It is to be read and applied for us here and now. And it is to be read and applied by you and by me. How is it here and now? Verse 5, the Hebrew is very emphatic. It doesn't come out that strongly in the English, but the first two words in the English of verse 5, and now, very emphatic. A brand new idea bursting on the scene here. And when we read it, we are to read it today. We are to read it today. And how do I know that? And why do I say that? After that, a clause there in English where it says, and now, it says, saith the Lord, meaning says the Lord. Not that the Lord said it 2,000 years ago, but He says it. And when we read it today, He is speaking to us today. But now, says the Lord. That same tense is revealed for us, not only in verse 5 there, but in verse 7. Look at verse 7. Thus saith the Lord. God is speaking. He's speaking to you and He's speaking to me today. He's not simply giving us a history lesson. The same sentiment and tense is found in verse 8. Thus saith the Lord. And by the way, in verse 8, it talks about an accepted time. It talks about the fact that there is a day of salvation, a moment of time, an opportunity. And everywhere in the Bible, and we could take the time to look this up here, but the Bible is always saying that today is the day of salvation. You know what? Right now is the only time that really, really matters. Right now. And the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Verse 9 was written to people the likes of whom are you and me. And so Showtime is not just about Jesus alone. And the Epiphany is not only about Him alone. Last Sunday, if you were listening carefully to Pastor Biette, you heard him say that God is not like us. God is not like us. We give something to somebody else and you know what? We have less of it. I think he talked about a glass of water or something. You give a glass of water away and you don't have that glass of water anymore. God is not like that. When God shares something like His glory, He has more of it. And we are to share in this epiphany. The showtime took place where Jesus was made manifest and revealed to the world. But we're to share in that. And I'm going to show you that here in this passage. And it doesn't diminish God's glory for us to somehow have a showtime where we are made manifest to the world. It increases God's glory. This is Showtime 2014 because it's about you and it's about me. Again, none of this means that it is to the exclusion of Jesus. Quite the contrary. Biblically speaking, we all know this. Without Him, we do nothing. And nothing is not a little bit of something. Nothing is no thing. Christ's call to us in verse 9 is to go forth. Christ's call to us is to show yourself. Brothers and sisters, the best manifestation of Jesus Christ to the world is your manifestation to the world as His follower. He says to you and He says to me, go forth, show yourselves. This is not a whole lot different than what He said to the lepers in Luke chapter 17. When they come by and they're asking for mercy and He heals them and He says, go and show yourself to the priest. That's what he's saying to us today. Go show yourself. Show yourself to the world. It will bring me glory. And by the way, that is how God is glorified. In Luke chapter 17 there in verse 14, you go on to verse 15, and it says that that's how they glorified God. They are proclaiming to the world that this Redeemer, this Savior, did heal me. And so he says to you and he says to me, go forth. And he says, show yourself. It's not a whole lot different than what he said to Lazarus. We are dead in our trespasses and sin. And in Lazarus, in John chapter 11 and verse 43 and 44, Jesus is before a dead man and he says, come forth. Loose him and let him go. Lazarus was a lightning rod, drawing all sorts of attention inescapably upon Jesus. You know, the whole of Lazarus' life is that, as long as he was on the earth, and this is what really frosted the Pharisees and the people who were Jesus' opponents, because they knew as long as Lazarus was there, he was a living testimony to the fact that Jesus was the Messiah. He was a lightning rod. He would draw attention. He was showtime. That God lives and breathes and heals and saves. It's no different. As we start this new year, this is the accepted time. This is the time for us to break out for Jesus. What does Matthew 5 say? In verse 13, you know, we read in the Bible that Jesus, of course, is the light of the world. But he says, we're the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, you're the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing to be cast out, to be trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a lantern and put it under a bushel, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine. Showtime 2014 before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Go forth. Show yourself. The whole world is waiting for us to be made manifest. In Romans chapter 8, it says that the whole of creation groaneth. The earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. God is waiting for you. The earth is waiting for you to manifest yourself, that you belong to Him, that He's done a great work in you, that He has healed you, that He has saved you. The whole earth is groaning because of this and waiting. Because of the creation itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. But we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. St. Paul is saying 2,000 years ago that the earth was stuck in this bondage. And it's waiting for the Christians to man up, so to speak. Manifest yourself. When we talk about manning up, it's not so much that I'm going to be a man, put my cowboy boots on the right way. It's manifesting Jesus to the world. When you go forth and you show yourself, it is showtime. You are shining. You are showing forth Jesus. The word show here means to reveal. It means to expose. It means to uncover. And it's used throughout the Bible, and it's normally used in a very negative way. It's normally used in a way that is not only negative, but should bring shame, to uncover, to make naked. If we were to look at the slide that we have here of the word, this is the word for show, as you see it. If you have a more modern translation, the ESV says in verse 9, to you who are in darkness, appear. Same idea. Just be on display. show. It means to bear, it means to strip, to unveil, to disclose, to reveal, to appear, to show, to uncover, stark exposure, to make naked. I guess I got to stop here. For those of you who are from South Troy, this denudate here, I know that, you know, that's confusing and that's troubling, and some of you are struggling because half of you are probably thinking to yourself here, rescheduled is a new date. What is he talking about here? The new date for the, or it's a nude date. That you go on a date and you don't have any clothes on. But that's what marriage is. When you go on a date and you don't have any clothes on. That's not a new date. That's marriage. Okay, you got that, some of you young people there, right? I know you South Troy people are a little confused about that. But what the word means, it means show. Actually, the word denudate here is actually a scientific term. It means erosion, where the water or the wind is kind of stripping off the outward layer of a rock and you have a fresh new layer all the time. So it's the idea of stripping, to expose, to make naked. You'll see that word quite a bit in a scientific context there, but it's not about a new date for the Christmas party, all right? It's exposure. It means to show. But I want to get back to the idea here, and this is important. And Rich Bledsoe is somebody who I really admire, and he talks a lot about our culture. And did you ever notice how almost no one anymore has any shame? And it doesn't matter whether it's a matter of any sort of substance abuse or sexual problem or whatever, or murdering. No one has any shame, except the most shameful thing you can do in our culture is to talk about Jesus. How ironic it is that the only thing that seems to bring modern Americans shame is to manifest yourself as a Christian, to show yourself as a Christian, to expose yourself as a Christian, to display yourself as a Christian. But what am I calling for today? What I and what God is saying to us today in this accepted time, in this day of salvation, in verse 9, what he is saying today for all of us is this. And I'm going to display a little bit here. And again, you got to remember, the Bible says, unto the pure all things are pure. Right? He's telling us to be spiritual streakers. Now, you probably haven't heard about streaking since about 1973 or 74, when that was the rage all across the land. People would take off their clothes and just... It got a lot of attention, didn't it? Those people were lightning rod. They drew attention. Drawing attention to the wrong thing for sure. But what God is telling us today is we are to be spiritual streakers, or streaking for Jesus in a pure way. What this passage is telling us here, go forth and show yourself, is this, is that we are to be fully clothed. Nobody get the wrong idea here. We are to be fully clothed, yet we are to be exhibitionists for Him. Showing Him to the world by showing them what He has done in, to, and for you. Showtime, that first epiphany took place 2014 years ago. Today, Jesus calls us to showtime number 2014. What does showtime 2014 mean for you? What does it look like? Showing the world that you are different than you were before. That you are indeed a new creature in Christ. And not being ashamed of that. What does Showtime 2014 mean for you? It means showing the world that you are healed. You know, I used to struggle with this, or I had this problem, but God has healed me. Showtime means that you are showing the world that you are strong and brave and committed. It means that you can show the world that you can say no to their temptations. It's showing the world that you can do without the substance abuse that marks our culture. It's showing the world that you can say yes to hard work and to responsible living. Showtime 2000, going forth and showing yourselves in the year 2014, means showing the world the fruit of the Spirit. Showtime 2014 means loving your wife. It means respecting your husband. It means nurturing and training your children. It means honoring your boss. It means obeying God. Look again at verse 9 from Isaiah chapter 49. Showtime 2000 means that I have come out of the prison. Christ says to the prisoners, go forth. Showtime 2000 means, you know what? I have come out of the prison. And it also means this, I no longer live in darkness. Go forth to them that are in darkness. Show yourselves. Be out there. It means that I am not a victim. It's showing the world that I'm a victor. And for the fairer sex, you're victorious. We're not victims. We're victors and victorious in Christ. This idea of coming out of the prison and coming out of darkness, isn't that what Jesus, who is the embodiment of the gospel, is all about? Look at Isaiah 61. This is quoted by Jesus as what his call to the mission was. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. And for the support, for the nourishment, and for the maintenance, for all of these things that we are called upon to do, we feed at his table. In Isaiah 49 and verse 9, we paid a lot of attention so far to the first part of this verse. Christ was chosen to be the Savior, to be God's salvation to the ends of the earth, that he may say to the prisoners, go forth. To them who are in darkness, show yourselves. And then we read this. What is our support? What is our maintenance? What is the means by which we can do this? What is our nourishment? They shall feed in the ways. We'll come to this table. Their pasture shall be in all high places. They will not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor the sun smite them. For he has mercy on them, shall lead them, even by the springs of water he will guide them. And I will make all my mountains away, and my highways shall be exalted. Brothers and sisters, as we prepare for communion this day, let us commit ourselves to Showtime 2014. Father God in heaven, we thank you for your word to us today and your charge. And we thank you, Lord, for the turning of the calendar and the new day. And we thank you that today is an accepted time and that today is a day of salvation. And like Lazarus of old, you have said to us, come forth. Father, help us to show ourselves to the world that you might be glorified. And let our light so shine that our Father in heaven would be glorified. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.